I was scrolling through Rock Localama this morning, and I stumbled on a thread that honestly just it hurt a little to read.
The FOMO thread.
Yeah, exactly. The title was literally, "I Feel Left Behind. What is Special About OpenClaw?" And I mean, it perfectly captured the vibe of the last week.
It really does. We're watching this thing explode. I mean, 60,000 GitHub stars in just 72 hours. It is completely unprecedented.
Unprecedented. You've got these rumors about Mac Minis selling out everywhere and that little lobster mascot popping up on every timeline.
Right, but then you still have this huge group of people standing on the sidelines going, wait, isn't this just another chatbot?
Like, did I miss the memo?
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
think that is the mission for this deep dive. We need to bridge that gap because if you think OpenClaw or formerly Moltbot is just another ChatGPT wrapper.
You're missing the fundamental shift here.
Exactly. So let's unpack the definitions. The sources keep using this phrase, local gateway or an operating system for agents.
And the best way I found to really wrap my head around that is the brain versus hands distinction.
That is the core of it right there. Standard LLMs, your typical Claude or GPT-4, they are essentially brains in a jar.
Right? They're
They can
brilliant.
write poetry, they can code, but they are completely isolated. They just live in a browser tab.
But OpenClaw gives that brain hands.
Meaning it can actually touch your stuff.
Yeah, it connects the model directly to your terminal, your file system, your web browser.
Yeah.
It's not just generating text anymore, it's executing actions.
Precisely. And that leads to the dark mode analogy from that Reddit thread, which I just thought was brilliant.
Oh, I loved that one. The idea that dark mode existed as a niche setting for techies for years, but then suddenly Apple makes it a system-wide standard, and boom, it's the default expectation.
Right, so agentic tools, things that can run code, they have existed before. Open Interpreter is a great example.
But OpenClaw made it default.
It put that agency right in your pocket, integrated into the messaging apps you already use, WhatsApp, Telegram, iMessage.
That's the key differentiator for me, honestly. It isn't a browser tab. You text your agent on WhatsApp, and because it's actually running on your computer at home, it does real work for you.
And since it is local first, the privacy implications are just huge.
Massive. Think about it, your conversation history isn't sitting in some proprietary cloud database somewhere.
OpenClaw stores memories as local markdown files right on your hard drive.
Which is fantastic for anyone using Obsidian or even just plain text editors. If I want to delete a memory, I don't have to navigate some complex privacy setting maze. I just delete a text file on my computer. I own the data.
Exactly. But let's get concrete, because doing things can sound a bit vague.
Right. I saw one user story about a find and replace task that really clicked for me. A user had 50 markdown files where half said sign in and half said log in.
And in the past, you'd sit there and open them one by one.
But with OpenClaw, he just texted the agent, standardize these to log in and update the metadata.
And it just did it. It ran the script, checked its own work, and reported back.
But that's simple stuff. The child custody example was where I really saw the real power.
That was fascinating. An agent accessed school emails and a complex calendar, then used a solver tool to figure out a schedule.
A schedule that balanced 50-50 custody time while respecting all these hard constraints.
That isn't just text generation. That is complex logic applied to real-world logistics.
And it does it with personality, too. We have to mention sul.md.
Oh, right. You can create a file called sul.md that defines exactly who the agent is.
You can make it a grumpy senior engineer who critiques your code or a super supportive assistant.
It stops feeling like a tool and actually starts feeling like a team member.
Okay, but here is where we definitely have to pump the brakes. Because for every person calling it Jarvis, there is someone else calling it a security nightmare.
Or vibe-coded trash, as one Redditor put it.
Which is harsh, but maybe fair. We are talking about giving an AI permission to execute terminal commands.
If you give an agent ARM AFR privileges, the command to force delete files, and it hallucinates.
It could wipe your entire hard drive.
There's also the Solevel hook concept. It is a theoretical backdoor where a malicious script could silently replace the agent's system prompt.
If you're running code from the internet that has access to your entire digital life, the risk profile changes completely.
And it's not just your data at risk, it is your wallet. We have to talk about the Google anti-gravity incident.
That was such a mess. Users on the Ultra plan paying $250 a month suddenly got their Google accounts suspended.
And the reason cited was API multiplexing.
For those listening who aren't network engineers, that basically means sending too many requests at once through a single pipe, right?
Essentially, yes. OpenClaw sends so many requests so fast Because the agent is constantly thinking, checking, looping.
That to Google, it literally looked like a resale scheme or a DDoS attack, so they just shut them down.
So you could lose your Google account, burn through a fortune in API tokens because the agent is looping, or accidentally wipe your hard drive.
Using high-end models like Claude Opus 4.5 through OpenClaw can become incredibly expensive, unlike a flat-rate ChatGPT subscription.
It is a high-risk, high-reward environment. You are shifting from chatting with AI to employing AI on your own infrastructure.
It's powerful, but the guardrails are basically non-existent.
The capability is undeniable, but the cost, both financial and security-wise, is very real.
So here is the question we need to leave you with today. Is the convenience of an agent that can do anything worth the risk of an agent that has permission to destroy everything on your computer?
That is the question every user has to answer for themselves.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.